Just to go to Toronto School, that's good, and the other one was, start with the S. Storage, transport, and, storage, transport, and secretory vesicle, right? The secretory vesicle must be attached to the membrane, and it must have these snares to identify where on the membrane to form that. Cell to cell junction, these CAM molecules that we'll talk about a little later as well. So cell adhesion molecules. We've talked about one already, the plaque that you saw, that allows the cells to kind of stick together, and we'll talk a little more about those momentarily. The enzymes. Enzymes. You can have enzymes. Most of the enzymes that we will talk about will be on the inside of the cell, the intracellular surface. And it's not going to be most of what we're going to talk about wouldn't be inside of the cytosol, it would be close to the membrane. The inner surface of the membrane, those enzymes are very close there, and they are going to speed up certain reactions. Enzymes are receptors. The glycoprotein, glycolipids can act as receptive devices. Some of the proteins themselves can have regions that will receive information from the exterior or the interior. So the snare, that T snare is like a receptor that receives from the V snare. So specific cell identity. So one of the things, the cells of your body must recognize themselves. So blood cells must recognize themselves and must recognize what is foreign to it. It is because of these attachments to the cell membrane that we know what is self and what is non-self. If it's non-self, then generally we try to destroy anything that is non-self. Transporters, we saw the holes through the proteins. We'll talk about channels versus carriers, where channels have a hole that run all the way through, and at one time you can see the inside from the outside. Carriers, the entire protein must be reconfigured in order to move the molecule from one side of the membrane to the other. Channels, holes or pores within the protein, within a membrane spanning protein, allowing substances to move from one side of the membrane to the other. I said in the 19th century, all they did was plug holes in the membrane to allow for the experiments that they were seeing in which substances were being moved from one side of the membrane to the other. By the 20th century, we could recognize and understand proteins were there. And by the late, or the middle of the 20th century, the electron microscope actually showed us these proteins as they're being embedded in the membrane. So, membrane-spanning protein, they're water-filled. If they're water-filled, they will not allow a hydrophobic substance to pass through. So, substances being passed through these channels will be hydrophilic. They allow passage for water-soluble, but are highly selective. They don't allow just any and everything to pass through that's water-soluble. For one, because of their small size, there's a certain specificity because of size, and sometimes because of polarity. If it's inside the pore, there's a negative charge, then only a positive charge can get through, because if a negative comes, it repels the substance. These holes, pores, may be regulated, and they may be regulated by a structure we call a gate. So they can be gated or non-gated. And if they are gated, then sometimes the gate is always, well, normally open, and every so often it closes. Or the gate can be normally closed, and then something triggers it to open. So you have these gating mechanisms. So if it's normally open, we call that a leak channel. And in most membranes, there's a leak channel, generally for the leaking of sodium across the cell membrane. Either fast sodium leak or slow sodium leak, or modulated because of the environment. So the leak or open channels stay open mainly, and then they can close for a time. When we do the nervous system and we do the action potential, we'll get back there. When we go to the heart and we do the action potential in the heart, you will see some of these leak channels being operating. Maybe regulated or gated, and here are 1, 2, 3, 4 types of energy that can allow the channel to change its state from closed to open. So you can change it by a chemical, ligand gated. So a chemical binding to the receptor on that protein will allow the gate to open, and then it will close. Now some gates open and stay open until the signal leaves. Other gates open, but only stay open for a certain time, then closes, even if the signal continues. And electrically gated, when we do the action potential, I'll show you those, because of the change in membrane potential, the electrical force across a cell membrane, that is going to cause the membrane protein to open, allowing substances to move down their concentration gradients. And then the final one are mechanical. Mechanically stimulated channels include temperature. An increase in temperature or a decrease in temperature will open those gates. Stretch, pressure, distortion, all of those are considered to be mechanically gated systems. And finally, the numbers of proteins, the concentration of proteins can vary on the cell. And if the concentration of proteins on the cell membranes can vary, then the number of channels or carriers can also vary. The kinds, you may have some with a high amount of electrically gated channels and only a few mechanically gated channels. And then at a certain time it changes where you have more mechanical than you have electrical. And of course chemicals, chemically gated. Activity will vary depending upon the environment, the response, the stimulation of those cells. Any questions? Carriers. So channels allow molecules, ions, to move across through the membrane via these membrane spanning proteins. Carriers do the same thing, and they generally will carry larger molecules than your channels. But they accomplish their feat by changing their conformation. So they will be like this, where the carrying portion faces the extracellular fluid. They capture the molecule and then change conformation to release it into the inside of the cell. And in doing so, capturing, releasing, at no time can you look through and see the other side of the cell. You see, with the channels, it's a pore, and there may be a gate blocking it, but the gate opens, and so you can see the inside from the outside at one point in time when it's open. With carriers, at no time can you do that, because it actually changes conformation, so you don't see the inside from the outside or vice versa when it is in any state. So bind, crossing, there's never a direct connection between the outside and the inside extracellular mediums, and can transport it in both directions. The channel will only carry in one direction. That one direction is down the concentration gradient. Well, these carriers can travel in both directions, can move stuff in both directions because of the activity. And these carriers, again, will transport one molecule or related compounds, related molecules. So they are not as specific as the channels. Other proteins in the cell membrane may function as receptors that will recognize other biomolecules or recognize signals that's in the extracellular medium. So when we talk about ligand gated, well, that channel has a receptor site that recognizes something in the extracellular medium that then will bind to it to allow the channel to change. So binding initiates intracellular changes. So when I looked at the phospholipid bilayer, over here there was this coil, the alpha helix. And that alpha helix allows something to bind on one side of the membrane and convey the information, the message, to the other side of the membrane without a protein changing conformation, without a protein opening or closing channels. So messages can be conveyed across the membrane. So there's a receptive portion to that protein. Docking, right? Lock and key fashion of the T and the V snare, right? Where they bind, lock, and then one disintegrates to allow the chemical, the ligand, the molecule to move out of the vesicle. Enzymes, right, on the cell's membrane, generally the intracellular surface. So when we do the G protein system, we do several enzymes that is occurring in the membrane or along the intracellular surface of the membrane to allow intracellular activity to continue to speed up or to slow down. So CAMs, cell adhesion molecules, these can be found on the membrane, and self-identity markers. So you saw protruding from the surface carbohydrate moieties, glycoproteins and glycolipids. These can act as either cell adhesion molecules or as self-identity molecules. Depending upon the number and orientation of these projections, the cells will recognize them as self or non-self. They can form these long loops that can attach to other cells or that can attract molecules in order for the cell to respond to its environment. This is especially true with certain endocrine cells, where they need to have these to detect relatively small quantities of hormones in the blood or in the interstitial fluid. A mechanical link to other cells. So you saw the desmosomes that from one cell, the cytoskeleton penetrated the plaque and got into the extracellular space to form contact with another cell. And the other cell sends the information there, and in a kind of Velcro-like fashion, they link to each other, preventing it from moving apart easily. And of course, again, signaling molecules, receptor sites, as the case may be. Self-identity, ability to recognize self, cell-to-cell interaction. We talk about where you have one cell releasing a substance and affects the neighboring cell, or one cell releasing substance that affects just these cells in the small vicinity. The releasing cell produces a chemical, but if the receiving cell, if they do not have the mechanism to detect these changes, they do not respond. The immune response, right? When you get blood, you go to the hospital and they give you blood. Before they give you blood, they must try to recognize what blood, your blood type. Except if you get blood from a... Sorry?
O type?
Yeah, O type. Which one? O?
Universal donor.
O, but not just O.
O negative.
O negative, right? You're the universal donor. Right? If you're a universal donor, you can give blood to most people without causing them to have an allergic reaction. Some people do strange things, but for the most part. If you're A or B, or whether A, B, negative, positive, so on, then you can only give to A, B, A negative, A positive, B negative, and so on. But O negative, you can give to just about everybody. What about O positive?
You could give to anybody with a positive.
Okay. And the negatives and positive will have to do with what's orange on the markers on the red blood cell, and orange factor, and so on. And that's part of the immune response. When you get injured, right, and you open the blood, spews out, well, you get in the air, there are bacteria floating around. If you handle something and it gets on it, that gets into the body. Those bacteria, as they get in, they will be recognized as non-self, and therefore the immune system will kick in to destroy those cells. Questions? So we have been talking about some of these terms, that I think you should be familiar with. What's intracellular compartment? What's extracellular compartment? What are the constituents of the intracellular compartment? Your cytoplasm. What's the cytoplasm? Cytosol, nucleus, nucleolus, extracellular, two major compartments, the interstitial fluid and the plasma. We also remember that there are other compartments within the body, the eye, the ear, the knee. That's also part of the extracellular compartment that is not interstitial or plasma. Good? So, stuff must get across the membrane, and stuff will get across in several ways. We start off by doing this thing called membrane dynamics. And we start with an easy one called diffusion. The membrane, I told you, will allow certain substances to go across. When that ease by which it moves across is called permeability. The membrane is permeable to that substance. When it tries to prevent stuff from going across, we call it impermeable. Now, these are relative terms because I told you earlier that the membrane is impermeable to water. And the real statement is the membrane is relatively impermeable to water. Because if water stays there long enough, it finds its way on the other side of the membrane. So that's what we talk about impermeable. It gets across with difficulty. And I have four factors that will determine how things get across the membrane. One is molecular size. The larger the molecule, the more difficult it is. Is that a direct relationship or indirect relationship or what? Direct relationship. Direct relationship. What about lipid solubility? The higher the lipid solubility, more will get across. Right? The higher the lipid solubility, the more it gets across. What about temperature? The higher the temperature, the faster it can move across. What about etc.? Charge. One of those etc. will be charged. If it's charged versus uncharged, any other etc.?
The concentration
mm-hmm. may be part of that, etc. Anything else? I'm just hoping you'll guess something. No? That's about it. So some substances can move across passively. What do we mean by passively? Under their own energy, their own steam. Whereas others move actively. You need some external source of energy to come in to drive them across the membrane. And of course, the plasma membrane, the cell membrane,